Before King David and Christ Jesus, there had to be a call girl Rahab. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. There's an old English saying, "He who has no fools, knaves, or beggars in his family was begot by a flash of lightning." Well, Jesus was conceived miraculously, and he still had shady ancestors. Don't look now, but there's a Gentile prostitute in the family line of Messiah and in Hebrews 11. That's a small person with a great God. But faith is not just for the heavyweights, Jim says.
The writer here very casually says the walls of Jericho fell. Now it says they fell down. It says they fell down after being encircled for 7 days. You know the story. God brought the nation of Israel over there into Jericho, in front of Jericho, and he said, "Now I want you to be absolutely silent. I want you to walk around the city, all the way around the walls, once each day for 6 days. 7th day, I want you to walk around 7 times, and then when I raise the standard, I want you to shout." They did, and the walls fell down flat. Flat. Now, I love what the founder of Back to the Bible Hour said in his writing of this passage. It was his conviction, his persuasion, that this was an angelic miracle. And he had reasons for believing that. He believed that the angels pushed the walls down into the ground, not over. Because if you go back and you read the battle record, you discover that the soldiers, each soldier that was circling the city, went straight ahead into the city. So the route between them and the citizens living in Jericho was unencumbered. They went straight in. Think about that. He may be right. Maybe absolutely right. He also pointed out that the reason he liked that interpretation was because it gave greater glory to God and because it demonstrated God's perfect care of the next character in this list. Because the Bible tells us that Rahab's house was built on the wall. On the wall. Her house was part of the wall. Matter of fact, when the spies left her house, they went out through a window, straight down the wall, and escaped to the mountains. And the Bible tells us that when the wall fell flat, that the soldiers went in and did what they needed to do, and God gave them absolute total victory. But Rahab and her family, who were all in Rahab's apartment when the attack took place, Rahab and her family were spared. Pretty amazing. Great idea. I think the reason it's written this way is not to discredit Joshua, but it is to tell us that that was a formidable milestone. That was a time when God dramatically, supernaturally separated the sheep and the goats. That's when God supernaturally dealt militarily with the inhabitants of the land of Israel. He had said, "I'll go before you. I'll fight the wars. I will be your commander-in-chief. You just march and I'll do that." And from my study of the scripture, with the exception of those soldiers who died at the Battle of Ai, which followed this, I don't think there were any casualties among the Israelites during the whole time they invaded the land. Why? Because God did their fighting. And that's precisely what's going to happen again. In some sense, it's what's happening tonight. The God who called the covenant people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from among the Gentiles, brought them back to his land, settled them in the land, is not abandoning them yet. Yet. And God will do incredible supernatural things to give those who are the recipients of his covenant blessings, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants, they will get the direct fulfillment of those promises, and God will fill in the blanks between now and then. Spectacular things are ahead for the land of Israel. Now, Rahab, we mentioned her, is an interesting study. Turn back with me, please, in your Bible to the book of Joshua. Joshua, I want you to listen to her personal testimony. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Verse 8. Before the two spies fell asleep, Rahab went up on the roof. This is of her house or her appointment where she had hidden them. She says to them, this is Rahab. I know that the Lord has given you this land. Say what? I know that your God has given you this land. I don't know how she learned that. I don't know where that faith came from. But frankly, that's more faith than what a lot of the people who marched out of Egypt actually exhibited. I know the Lord has given you this land. I know that the dread of you has fallen on us. The dread of you? Yeah. God's shadow had preceded his presence. The dread of you has fallen on us. Everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the rivers of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, you completely destroyed across the Jordan. That's on the other side of the Jordan, in the land it's now called Jericho. When we heard this, we lost heart. Everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Oh my goodness. Now this is coming from the lips of a Canaanite prostitute. Read that again when you got some time and just ponder what she just said. We know. I know. And I know that the Lord God that you serve is Lord God in heaven above and on earth below. Now, please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my family because I showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them and save us from death. They say, okay, we'll do that. Verse 15. Then she let them down by rope through the windows, and she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. Remember what we just said. Go to the hill country, she said, so that the men pursuing you won't find you. The hill country would have been the opposite way from the River Jordan. Her instruction to the king was, yeah, she thought she had seen a couple of strangers, and she thought that they had fled before the city gates were closed, and she thought they had gone east toward the Jordan, which would be natural, returning back to their armies. No, she said, the guys who are looking for your life out there are going to be exploring the banks of the Jordan River. So you go the other way. You go toward the mountains, she said. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return. Afterwards, after they return to Jericho, then go your way. Now watch. The men said to her, we will be free from this oath you made us swear, unless when we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into your house. If anyone goes out of the doors of your house, his blood will be on his own head, and we will be innocent. But if anyone with you in the house should be harmed, his blood will be on our heads. And if you report our mission, we are from the oath you have made us swear. Phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. We often make the same mistake. That is, we hold people captive to what they used to be, what they once did. Sometimes even to struggles and habits that they find hard to break. Sometimes they want those habits gone. But we can't get beyond the corruption of their past to encourage them to receive grace for the future. This in no way celebrates the practice of prostitution. The snow way makes Rahab a model citizen, but it does make her a model believer. And it says to all of us in this room tonight and all who hear my voice, I don't care where you are, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what your life has been, you are not beyond the grace of God. But you got to take God at His word. You got to receive God on His terms. He will not be pilfered. He will not be politicized. He will not be pampered. And He will not be partial. And that's exactly what I heard this woman say. Didn't you just read it? We know who your God is. We know that He is in charge of heaven and earth. We know He's given you this land. And there's nothing we can do about it, and we're trembling and afraid. What a tremendous affirmation of faith. And this came from a woman who is in Scripture called a harlot. It's interesting, two other times in the New Testament she appears, not as a heroine, but as an example of the power of the grace of God which operates and is released when we trust God, when we take God at His word, when we trust Him. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This is fun. These are the things I scour Scripture to find. You may be bored out of your gourd by this, and that's okay. You just be as bored as you want to be bored. I want you to see something here. These lists of genealogies in Matthew and Mark are often ignored, bypassed in people's reading of Scripture, and you miss huge blessings when you do that. But I'd like you to look with me, please, at Matthew chapter 1. It says, this is the historic record of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the son of Abraham. It says, Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, Jacob followed Judah and his brothers. Jacob, you read down through there. It says, all the way down in verse 5, Salmon fathered Boaz by, read it. What? Who? This is the genealogy of King Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's promised to come into the world. What do you know about Boaz? That's exactly right. Boaz had a phenomenal experience of God's grace. It tells us here in this verse, it tells us that Boaz's mother was Rahab. Now, perhaps that explains his bachelorhood. Being in the town of Bethlehem before David was born, he may have had great difficulty finding a place among the Jewish leaders of that tiny town. He's a wealthy man. He's a landowner, a good businessman. But I'm not sure everybody in town could refuse or resist the desire to put Boaz in his place. Remember what the religious Pharisees said about Jesus? We be not born of fornication. Why do you think they said that? Because from their perspective, Mary was not a virgin. Let that sink in. And that same slam or slur could easily have been dished out to Boaz. Boaz, your mama was Rahab, a prostitute, a Gentile prostitute. She was a nobody. She was the scum of the earth. She was not welcome among the upper class or middle class people in Jericho. She lived out there in scum land. And you know how she made her money, Boaz? Boaz, you're trash. That could easily have affected Boaz and his sense of self-worth. But notice the next verse. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Ruth, remember that story? Go back and read it again this week. Here's a guy who's very settled in his bachelorhood, and yet you'll notice he's the critical link. You see that? He's the critical link. The promise of God to Abraham that would be fulfilled through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was hung up at Boaz. And Boaz was a bachelor. And frankly, he was very satisfied, very content to be a bachelor. Wealthy guy, bachelor. Now, I don't think God scratches his head. I don't think he strokes his beard. I don't think he sits on his throne and ponders, boy, that's a dilemma. How am I getting it over that one? God doesn't do that. But I am amazed at what God does. He goes down into Moab. Moab. And brings a lady whose husband had died. Remember the story? Brings that lady up to Bethlehem. And then through that very, very wise Naomi, Ruth discovers that she's heir apparent to a provision God put in the law. Boaz sees her gleaning in the field, asks, who is that? And from that moment on, he couldn't sleep nights, he couldn't rest days. From the first time he saw her, he said, you just rest. I've got some things I need to settle first. There's a guy who would be more qualified to claim you as part of a legitimate Jewish transaction, where you would become his wife and he would need to raise children through you that would be credited to your husband. I find that fascinating, don't you? Yes. Here's Boaz. On the one hand, his mom is Rahab, the harlot. His wife becomes Ruth, who is a Moabitess, and look what happens. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse followed King David. So let me see. That means Jesse's wife would have been David's mother. Obed's wife would have been his grandmother. Ruth would have been his great-grandmother. And Rahab would have been David's great-grandmother. Did I get that right? Say it again. You got the word. Rahab became a great, 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 great servant of God. Her beginning wasn't so good. Her finish was fabulous, incredible, and God honored. God honored. Now back in Hebrews again, we read here about her faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read concerning her, by faith Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace. She received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. What do you mean disobeyed? Those that disobeyed the will of God. These are the Canaanites who lived in Jericho and all the other cities. Go back and refresh your mind. Read the story of Joshua in the book of Joshua. It is blood and guts. But the one thing that stands above all that is, God promised, he keeps his promises. God promised, he keeps his promises. God promised, he keeps his promises. It is an amazing thing to read how the first Exodus out of Egypt was fulfilled under Joshua's leadership in the land of Israel. Same thing, you'll find the same thing when the Jewish people came back from their estrangement over in Babylon. Remember Daniel, Ezekiel? After 70 years, God said, okay, your time of discipline is over. I'm sending you back to the land. You'll read the same record. Same record. Nobody living there wanted them there. Nobody. God did. And for some reason, that land was key to God's providential provision for fulfilling his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God's doing the same thing today. There's going to be a catch. There'll be a catch. Remember, the 70th week of Daniel is split in two halves. The first 42 months, those two prophets of God are going to be on the earth, and it's going to be phenomenal what they're going to accomplish. They're going to be killed, and the second 42 months, the Antichrist, empowered by Satan, will be empowered by God to make war against the saints. But during that 42-month period, God has a place in the wilderness where he's going to tuck away his remnant people. Read about it in the book of Revelation. It's very clear, very clear. But that will be a time also of blood and guts. A lot of people are going to die in that 7-year period. The earth will be depopulated, extremely, extremely depopulated. Somewhere between 40 to 30% of the earth's population at the rapture will remain to see Jesus come back from heaven. But God will have his remnant. God will preserve his remnant. And they will be here on the earth, waiting to greet the king when he returns from heaven. And when we return with him, they will be here. Now, what's the point? The point is, Rahab believed that. Listen, Rahab had more faith, more understanding, more comprehension of the plan of God than a lot of the people who were marching in Joshua's armies. This woman is to be celebrated, not because of her career choices, but because of her faith and confidence. And God honored that in a very, very significant way.
Rahab was in the wrong place, Canaan, at the wrong time. She worshiped the wrong gods, and in fact, she was doing wrong. But one day, somehow the light bulb came on for her. She heard of Israel's miracle-working God, she believed, and everything changed. May the same be said of many of us. That was the hope of the writer of the book of Hebrews. Today we heard the middle part of Jim's sermon, Faith is Not Just for the Heavyweights. If you'd like to get the whole sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. The talk is part of our series called God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. That's 20 lessons, all yours on CD for an offering of $69 or more. Ordering details coming up. This Right Start episode is a gift to you from some of your fellow listeners, and we thank them. Some pray for us, some pray and give. If you'd like to join the Right Start family or communicate with us for any reason, you can reach us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. We'd love to talk with you by phone at 1-800-984-2313. Again, it's 800-984-2313. And rightstartradio.org is our home on the internet. From a link on our website, you can subscribe to our daily podcast on the Apple platform. Or with just a few keystrokes, you can play or download complete sermons by Pastor Jim or play the radio programs there on our site. You can donate securely there too. Once again, it's rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Besides the heroes named in the book of Hebrews, there are many who can't be named. We'll look at the rest next time. Please join us again on Friday for the next Right Start.